God never has depended upon somebody's ability to get His work done. He's never depended on the size of the crowd for His cause to be established. He has never depended upon the strength of any person or any group of people in order for the strength to abound. And He's never really in any way been slowed down by any force in creation. So what we need to do is look again to what we have and think again, as the Scripture says, if there be any good, think on this. You know, think on the good things. Now, most of what I want to talk about, I'm not going to really read the Scriptures. I will read one here, and then, but there are Scriptures, and I'll probably quote some or bits and pieces of them to go along with what I'm talking about. Don't have anything new. I've just got something good. Praise God. It's always good to consider the Word of the Lord. James teaches a lesson here that trials can actually cause good things if we handle them right. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy." And that brings forth a lot of questions from a lot of people, because a lot of people don't understand how some things could be something to talk about with a joyful attitude or a joyful feeling. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." And this is not just being tempted. This is actually being tempted and falling. And falling can be many things. Just getting to a place where you're so tempted that you lose your faith is falling. Getting to a place where you change your state of mind to thinking that God can't help you or there's no use to try, that's having fallen. "But count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Amen. So I just think I'll just go that far in the reading. There's a lot in the Word of God concerning patience and faith. And there's a lot in the Word of God concerning trouble and trials. Amen. We're not alone when we feel like there's something going wrong in our lives. You're not alone when it seems like the bottom has dropped out from under you. You have fellowship in that. You're not by yourself when you feel like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong in your life. Neither are you by yourself when you start thinking that I've tried and I've done the best I could and I still can't live this life. But when you get to that point, you have fallen into divers temptations. You have fallen, not necessarily destroyed, but if you don't find a remedy to this thing that's happening in your life, destruction will come. But there is a remedy, and there's no reason for destruction to come as a result of your falling. The Word says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And it says that some will utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting on the Lord is not just sitting and waiting on for something to happen or waiting on God to come through. Waiting on the Lord is more than that. Waiting on the Lord is looking into the way God operates and considering again the instructions all through the Word of God, how we should think, what we should be involved in, and all through the New Testament writings to the church, how we should conduct ourselves. Learn more about what holy living is all about. Even if you don't think you can live it, learn. Because some people have arrived. Some are able to put all the cares of life behind us. Regardless of what it looks like, there are some people living a holy life in this building right now. Hallelujah. And if one of us can do it, all of us can do it. Because not one of us is better than anybody else. And God loves everybody. Hallelujah. When even God was tempted to destroy mankind, He didn't fall into it. He said, I repent that I even made man. But He didn't fall into His temptation to destroy us all. Because God is bound by His own word. God is so God that He can't fail. He's so great in His own way of doing things that when God makes a covenant with Himself, He keeps it forever. When He makes a determination in His power and ability, it's not like we do. He doesn't waver in any of it. There's no shadow of turning with God. There's no changing His mind and wishing He had done it a different way. We may look at it and say, I wonder why God did it this way. Why would God let this happen? If He's a good God, why am I going through all this bad stuff? But He is a good God. Amen. And all this bad stuff you're going through, if you can find the wisdom of God in it, actually it's to help you. It may not seem like it, because while you're going through it, and even if it was put there on you by the devil himself, like Brother Mike said tonight, the devil is a liar. And God does not lie. And God said in everything He will make an escape for you. There's no hole that you can fall into that He can't get you out of. And He doesn't have to wait on somebody from Pennsylvania to bring a bigger grill. I mean, hallelujah. There is nothing impossible with God. The Lord taught that with men there are some things that are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So when that thought comes, I can't make it, how are you going to handle it? You need to let God take charge, because He's the God of His Word. And that thought is coming from the one that can't tell the truth. In one form or another, some spirit has latched on to you and says, you can't make it. It comes in your mind and you think it. And you think you're thinking it. Well, you may be thinking it, but the thought didn't come from God. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't lie like that. He says all things are possible to those that believe. He says that you should say, I am strong, even when you're weak. That doesn't come from the devil. That comes from God. The devil would say, admit you're weak. Now, that's a lie. But the Lord says, when you're weak, say I'm strong. And that's the truth. Why is it the truth? Because He is strong. And you're His child. And when we really get that in our noggin just right, we can understand more why we can fall into divers temptations, which we should never do. We should never do. But we do have an advocate with the Father. He is the one who pleads our cause. And it turns out that the judge He stands before is Himself. He is the judge. He is the lawyer. He is the witness to everything you've done wrong. And He knows your heart. And He knows you're all right. And so it doesn't take God several days of sending people to a little back room to try to figure out if you're guilty or innocent. He already knows you're guilty. He already knows. He's already judged you, but He judges with righteous judgment because He's a good God. And He sees it all and He says, but, you know, it's not your fault. And the old liar says, oh, yes, it is your fault. You caused it. You can see people manifesting that spirit every day. You can even see it in government leaders. It's not my fault. It's those Republicans over there. They're the ones that caused it. Or it's those Democrats. It's that Tea Party. That's what it is. Or it's that congressman or that congresswoman. They caused it. Or it was Bush. That's what it was. Or maybe it was Abraham Lincoln. He caused it. Or I want to tell you something. If we could grab a hold of faith just right, the entire human race could be saved. I'm talking we being the human race. If everybody could have faith, everybody could be saved. Because God doesn't want anybody to be lost. That's what the Word says. He's not willing that any should perish. Now, if God's not willing that any should perish, that means He has the ability to keep it from happening to you. Hallelujah. So if you perish, it's because you didn't choose to not perish. But the devil says, you're not worthy, you're not fit, you can't make it, you can't be free, you can't be victorious. But he's a liar. You can. Now who are you going to listen to? The one who has been defeated? Let me tell you something. If you want advice on what to think about people who believe in one God, if you want to get a good opinion on the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, baptism in Jesus' name, if you want to find out really what the truth is about this, ask somebody that has done it. Is it real? Ask somebody that has gone from death into life. Ask somebody that stepped out of darkness into this marvelous light. Ask somebody that has experienced speaking in tongues if you want to know if speaking in tongues is real. Because if you ask somebody that's never experienced, they're going to tell you no. And that's a lie. Told you that everybody's talking about what I want to talk about tonight. And that's good. If you want to know if an orange tastes good, ask somebody that's eaten one. Hallelujah. So many people are trying to be like somebody else. And you even let your children pal around with some of the neighbor's kids. And they start acting like them. Anyway, that's what it used to be when, as I remember raising children, how it was. If it hasn't changed, you let them stay around a crowd of unbelievers. And I'm not saying anything bad. I'm not saying they shouldn't play. I'm not saying they shouldn't have their fun and have their games and enjoy, you know, the neighborhood. But good, godly parents sanctify their children. What that means is you live a holy life and your children pick it up because they spend more time with you than they do with the world. You sanctify your children just by living for God. You separate them from the ways of the world. You bring them into an awareness that, hey, there's something going on here that ain't right. And even when you're not looking, your children, even if they're not fully persuaded and don't understand everything, when you're not looking, they're standing out in the dark crowd as a light that shines. Why? Because the parents are sanctifying their children. Just simply because the parents are sanctified. The parents are separated from the world and they're living for God. And now the children are out there and they know what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes they do say no to sin. And all the teachers and all the people on the playground and all the community can't understand how a kid can behave like that. Because it's just not normal today for children to be good. It's not even normal for adults to be good. But it should be normal. You know what's normal today? Godly living. That's the normal. You know what's normal as far as companionship? A man to be the husband and a woman to be the wife. That's normal. But in today's society, if you say that, you almost get in trouble. If I ran for a political office and I said something like that, they would tar and feather me. You ain't supposed to believe that it's just supposed to be the bond of matrimony, just supposed to be between a man and a woman. Even Connecticut, we got laws that say it's okay to be another way. Well, look, see, I don't take part in these protests. I don't take part in these marches. I don't go out and hold up a lot of signs saying we protest and we're against all this. One reason I don't do it, I don't like to think negative. And besides that, most of those people holding those signs and against all these things are not even living for God. They'll hold those signs and protest something they're against, and they'll lie like a lawyer. Oh, I'm sorry, lawyers. There are some saved lawyers. But they'll lie like the devil. And say, I don't believe in what you're doing. Well, you can go to prison and find people like that. Killers will accuse somebody else of being a liar. And liars will get mad at somebody else because they stole something. And somebody that killed a grown person gets mad at somebody that killed a kid. I'm glad I'm not like you. You know. I'm glad I learned what's right and what's wrong. You know, I used to be a paper boy at Cummins Prison down in Arkansas, and I delivered paper there and also for another prison. And I would go inside the prison. I would drive in on my motor route right inside the prison, past the guard. They all knew me, and when I'd go in, I would go and I would see various prisoners that were actually in a trust situation where they were actually able to have some positions watching for, you know, for the, you know, they, in other words, they could be trusted. But those prisoners that could be trusted, really, to hear them talk, what they all said to me, the ones that I talked to, and it was very consistent, I didn't do anything wrong, is what they said. they put me here, but I was really innocent. It was consistent. Almost every prisoner I talked to at Cummins Prison Farm, several of them are on death's row. I mean, I didn't talk to the ones that were on death's row, but there were several there on death's row. One good piece of one good moment that they really enjoyed, we were down there having church one day. Our church would go down and have services every once in a while. We took a young man who is a good friend. So he stood up and he said, well, my heart goes out to all you prisoners here at Cummins. Oh, the one good thing about it, boys, and let me tell you something, God's going to provide a way of escape for you. And man, did they cheer. But the guards didn't look too happy. God's going to make a way of escape for you. That gave them a little ray of hope. But that promise is for the people who will not believe the lies of Satan. There are people just as bound, not behind prison bars, but in churches. I don't think we have all that many in this church, but it does happen here. It has happened, and we've seen hundreds of people come through here, some who live a defeated life because they just don't believe the Lord. They believe something else. But every once in a while they believe the Lord and they find out He's still able. Because He doesn't want anybody to perish even if you've goofed up 1,000 times. No matter how many times it is, if you come back to Him, He doesn't want you to perish. But the problem is that we need to be careful that we don't become unstable. Because when we dilly-dally around with this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and I hope all of you hear this, because to some measure we're all guilty of falling some less, some more, into divers temptations. But we all need to hear that you don't have to let yourself get into a state of being confused of whether you should live for God or maybe go the way of the world. Before you get that far, grab a hold of the horns of the altar. Find a place to pray. Even if you don't feel like praying. I'm talking about some things that will help you tonight. Honestly, this will help you. Most of the time you get your victory is when you don't feel like praying. And when you don't feel like saying words and what you're saying, even in praying and trying to pray, you have these thoughts, it's not going to do any good. But you make yourself do it anyhow. Because let me tell you something. If you've ever had this experience with God of being born again of the water and the Spirit, you became His child. So He wants to help you. He's not against you. And besides you being His child, the Bible says it in one passage like this, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean, Brother Rutledge? Well, it means a lot of things, and a lot of people see various things that it does mean, and there's so many interpretations about it, because it means so many things. But when God speaks to your neighbors and to your friends, He uses your body. That's His temple to work with. Your body is a ministry of God. Even the bad things you go through, how you handle it, how you deal with it, and how you come out with victory is a great tool that God uses. And sometimes Satan does put us in a corner and we make mistakes. We say things we wish we hadn't said, and we do things we wish we hadn't done, and we just goof up and we don't mean to. But don't fall into it. I mean, we've all made mud pies, but you don't have to eat them. We've all been around nasty stuff, but you don't have to fall into it. And even if you're tempted and you don't feel good and you feel guilty because you thought and you looked, and you still got time to be a witness just to yourself that God is good. And no matter how far you get into this thing, don't fall into it. Find yourself. Even if you fall down, get up and don't stay there, because there's a way of escape for you. And find a place, even if it's behind a tree somewhere, to just stand up a minute and say, God, help me. I can't help myself. And right then, you're telling the truth. You can't help yourself. But the spirit that wants you to stay like that will get on your shoulder and yell into your ear, you'll never be able to help yourself. Now, that's a lie. Because it's still true. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. That's the truth. And for some spirit to say, you can't do that, that's a lie. Hallelujah. I can do all things. But you may not feel like you can, because this spirit gets on you and it just works you and it just makes you feel down and feel like you're defeated and you can't get there. You'll never make it because you failed so many times. And I've watched this happen over and over in my life. I've watched it over and over with so many people. And I've even been through it myself. But I have learned. And I'm not the only one that learned it. It's even in the Word of God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed, or his children, those that live for him, begging for bread. What's that mean? In other words, if you failed God, you messed up, you did wrong, he's still going to feed you. He's still going to heal you. He's still going to make a way for you. He's still going to lift you up. He doesn't want you to get hurt. He'll heal your hurts. He will take away the hurt that's in your heart. He'll take away not only the hurt, but he'll take away even the scars that remind you how bad it was. Thank you, Jesus. I've seen my share of people who gave up. I know a minister who, he's dead now, but when he was living, he was called to the hospital. And a man that he had offended, that had been a member of the church, he had baptized and watched him pray through and lived for God for several years. But somewhere along the line, something he said in church or something he did offended this church member. And then this church member quit going to church, quit serving God. Let me tell you how to quit serving God. Just start backing away from where you are. Miss a few church services or find excuses. I mean, there are times when, you know, it's not a rule that you have to be at every service. But I'm telling you, even if it's sickness that keeps you out, you miss some food when you're not here. And this is where you get your spiritual meals. And it's just like in the natural. You don't have to eat at every meal at your house. But you need to eat often. You need to find time to eat somewhere, somehow. Feast on the goodness of Jesus. And when you start pulling back and pulling away, you haven't backslidden. But don't fall into that direction that you're starting to go. We've seen people operate cameras and then gradually start sitting on the back and then gradually disappear. We've seen people come for a while and then lose interest and miss a couple of services and come back and then miss a month of services and come back a couple of times and then disappear. We never see them again. I've seen a lot of people operating various things in churches because it's a human nature thing. You get a position, you get to thinking of your power and your ability and the fact that you're over somebody else. If you allow that to happen, it's all a lie. It's not coming from God. He says for us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. If you get a position of any kind in the church, in the body of Christ, it should be to be a help and to be an example of humbleness and to be an example of a servant and to be the example of righteousness and holiness and somebody that cooperates and somebody that's always wanting to lift the man of God's hand or the woman of God, whoever it is, lift each other up, prefer one another. Those are the kind of people that should have positions. And if you get a position, don't let it mess you up. Just because you might be used to be a superintendent or something, I'm talking to people all over the world now, just because you might be put into a position of being, say, a Sunday school superintendent or a choir director or a head of the ushers or a ladies auxiliary president. And a lot of churches, everybody in the whole church has a position, it seems. And I talked to one minister, and I said, why does everybody have a position? They all have some kind of position. He said, that's how we keep them. That's a sad way to keep people, folks. If you got to give somebody a position in order to keep them, you got a mess on your hands. Thank you, Jesus. But I've seen people with positions. They were nice people. And I'm not really thinking of anybody in this place because this example doesn't seem to apply here. But it's good to know because a lot of people are messed up today because they think they're really important and they're like these folks in the graveyard. But when they were living, they thought the world couldn't go on without them. But it's going on. And you think the church couldn't operate without you doing what it is that you're doing. Hey, look, if you're not doing it, we're still going to go on. The problem is not the church. The problem you're having is with yourself if you get like that. Amen. I can think of a lot of examples, but I don't want to go into these examples because I have a tendency to get on a tangent and stay out there in left field somewhere, and I miss getting back to the point. But I want to stay here on this road to say, look, if you get into a position of helping, then let God help you to help. Because your body's a temple of the Lord. And He wants to use your hands. He wants to use your attitude. He wants to use your ability. He wants to use your talent. And He wants to get in all this and exalt Himself so that through you others will be blessed. But remember, you're not the one doing the blessing. Hallelujah. It's an honor to be used of God. But all praise goes to God. We've had people come occasionally that brought somebody to church, and we start just praising God. And after a while, we can't hardly talk to that individual because the other person that introduced them to the church seems to have the attitude, that's mine. I'm the one that brought that person. And so every time we preach, if they want a second opinion, they can always go to the one that brought them to church. No, look, when you introduce somebody to God, leave them there. This birth does not come about by flesh and blood. When you bring flesh and blood to church, God has an interest in it. But He wants to take that individual and make a child of God out of that individual. When it becomes a child of God, it's not your child. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm thinking of several people right now. We had, years ago, had a lady, she would bring people all to church. Always bringing people to church. She was good about getting people to come to church. But every time she would bring one, I would be aware that if I cross this lady, she and everyone she brings will not be here. Thank God for Brother Joe. The man that brought him to church is not serving God today. But that didn't stop Brother Joe. Hallelujah. And if you happen to be introduced to this church or somebody that goes backwards, don't put your trust in anybody. Put your trust in Jesus. If they go backwards, God didn't lead them that way. That's not an example of what it's all about. Find somebody that's going forward and ask them, is this thing real? Can I make it? Is there any hope for me? Because if you go to the one that's going backward, they'll come up with a reason why you ought to go backwards too. Sister so-and-so doesn't like you, or brother so-and-so is kind of dishonest, or maybe, or the church isn't what it used to be, or the air is too cold, or the temperature is too hot, the music's too loud, people are unfriendly. Look, we go through valleys and we go through mountains, but we never go through a time when God's not with us. A dry service can be a victorious service. Hallelujah. A moment when you're in church and you're tired, you can get some of your greatest blessings. You may not feel like shouting. You may not feel like dancing. But what you receive when you have some faith and trust and confidence in the Word of God, amen, it can last you a lifetime and take you through eternity with victory, even if you don't express it so we can all see you expressing it. You may be so tired you're about to fall off your chair and your back may be hurting, your legs may be hurting, but right now while I'm speaking to you, you can get the victory that's going to usher you into heaven. Hallelujah! All it takes is a cloudy day for some people just to quit serving God. God's good. Praise Him right now. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The way we think, the way we reason, it's not always perfect. How many of you know that that's the truth? We don't always think exactly like we should think. We don't always do exactly what we should do all the time. But there's no reason for us to all get up here and spill out all the things we've done wrong to one another, because we all don't need to hear it. We all don't need to think it. We all don't need to go around, you know, trying to figure it all out. You need sometimes to tell your negative thinking thoughts to get out of your life. Praise God. You've got control over your mind with the power of the Holy Ghost. We are as we thinketh, according to the Word of God. As a man thinketh, so is he. And then we're instructed to put on the mind of Christ. So we have a higher mind than our own mind, but it uses our brain to speak to us. But the brain that we use, yielded to God, kicks the devil out. You can change your dirty thinking into clean thinking just like that. You can think something negative and start thinking positive in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's up to you to decide whether to yield to Jesus or yield to the darkness and the evil of this world. If you want to think right, live right, and be right, grab a hold of this thing. Stand up and be counted. And when the devil comes to tempt you, don't fall into it. Don't fall into it. But if you utterly fall, wait on the Lord. And get up. Don't give up, but get up. And get up. If you do it a lot, get up again. Get up again. Get up again. There will finally come a time when you're going to hear a lie and you're going to believe it. And you'll be turned over to a reprobate mind. What does that mean? It means you can't think right. It means that everything you're thinking is right turns out to be wrong. And everything that is wrong turns out to be right. You start thinking, I can't make it. But they're wrong and I'm right. I can't live what they live. But they're wrong and I'm right. That's reprobate thinking. But it doesn't mean you're hopeless. Even a person with a reprobate mind is in the whosoever will crowd. And whosoever will may come and take of the waters of life freely. How do you break past it? Come with your reprobate thinking. Get down on your knees when you don't even think it's going to happen. And just tell that old devil that's telling you to think like that, I don't understand it, but I know the Word of God is true. I don't feel anything. I'm hopeless, it seems. I'm worthless, it seems. But I'm just going to do this anyhow. This is one time you can fake it till you make it. Because when you start putting forth some effort, everybody knows man is a failure. Everybody knows that we're weak. Everybody knows flesh is bad. Everybody knows that we're corrupt. Everybody knows we're just beast without God in our life. Hallelujah. But who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If you ever find yourself in the valley of decision because you think you've gone so far and you can't make it, and you found that you're so low that you can't get up, and if you start having that thought there's no use to try, then you may have to just make yourself do some things you don't feel like doing. But it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it if you just do it anyway. It feels bad to praise the Lord when you don't feel like praising the Lord. To get that old tongue to say, praise God, and you know you're not right. And the devil jumps on you and says, see there, look, you're a phony, you're a hypocrite. And everybody around you knows what you did and how you were. They know it too. And the same old devil jumps upon them and says, look at that, look at that, look at that. And you're aware of it. They know and you know. And do it anyway. Praise God! Didn't feel a thing. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to feel anything for this thing to work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's going to work. God inhabits the praises of His people. If you've ever been one of His people, praise Him anyhow. Praise Him anyhow. Say hallelujah anyhow. I don't feel like saying hallelujah. Say it anyhow. Say it anyhow. You start saying the name of Jesus and you don't feel like saying the name of Jesus? Who told you you got to go by the way you feel? That didn't come from God. Hallelujah. I don't feel like praying most of the time when I pray. When I start to pray, I tend to go to sleep. It's so peaceful, restful. Work all day, run all the time, do this, do that, go, 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 go. And you find, I need to pray. I really need to pray. I've been thinking kind of, you know, carnally lately. I think, I shouldn't be thinking like this. What are you thinking, brother? I'm just thinking, man, I need to get rich right now. I need all this money. Is that carnal? Well, it doesn't have to be, but it can be. Depending on what you want it for. But if you're thinking that way and trying to figure out how to make all this money and you're not praying, it can become a problem. But then you can get all involved in making all this money and then you don't have time to pray and you don't feel like praying because you're too tired to pray because you're working so hard. But you're making all this money. So there has to be a balance. There has to be a time in your life, no matter how much money you're making or not making, when you don't fall into the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Because broke people have problems with the love of money. And people that have lots of money have problems with the love of money. But people with a lot of money or no money can kick the problem out of your life if you put God first. And no matter what, you talk to Him once in a while. Reason with Him once in a while. Let Him take charge once in a while. Praise God. Look, there's something to this, folks. I'm telling you the Bible truth tonight. There is no doubt in what I'm talking about. This is not a new message. This is an ongoing message. It's always going to be there. If you come back 20 years from now, you won't know how to get your life straightened out. What I'm telling you tonight will still be the truth in 20 years. Hallelujah. And it was the truth back when I started serving God. I stumbled my way into this. I wasn't always a perfect little boy. I wasn't a perfect teenager. And even after I found God, I wasn't always perfect. I didn't always do the right things. I goofed up. I tried things. I did things. I did terrible things. But there's grace and mercy with God. And you know, and I needed to hear somebody tell me, you know, you can still make it. How wonderful those men must have felt when that drill broke through. They weren't out of the woods yet. They weren't saved yet, but hope suddenly appeared. When hope appears, grab a hold of it. Amen. A reason to keep going. With that hope came some nourishment. After the breakthrough came some food. Amen. Instead of eating every 2 days just a little bit of, what was it? Milk and tuna fish, or and half a biscuit. Probably warm milk at that, I don't know. But so many, look, that the last 48 hours has ministered to me to watch humanity stop being mean to each other once in a while. Now, we go through and just take it, you know, lightly. We hear on the news, 50 died of bombing in Iraq. Well, those are 50 people that died. But in the last few days, 32 or 33 or 34 men, however many it was, the attention of the whole world was on those 30-something men. And while they were trapped there, there were people, 50 and 60 and 30 and 40 people in different places being wiped out. Nobody's paying attention to them. What are they paying attention to? Goodness. Greatness. Wisdom. Ingenuity. Doing the impossible. Not thinking defeat. Finding hope. Believing for the best. If that can happen in our world, how much more can it happen when you step out of sin into holiness and into righteousness? Look, there has already been a breakthrough in your life. The drill has broken through. The slop you've been eating, you don't have to eat it anymore. Hallelujah. The rescue people are here for you. The church is here for you. And we're shining brighter than the sun for you. God, who can do anything for anybody under any circumstances, is here for you. And if there ever was something good to think about, this is good to think about. This is good to think about. Hallelujah. You don't think you can do it? Look. Look up. Mercy's breaking through right now. Write a little note on mercy. Say, I'm down here. I need you to rescue me. I need out of this mess I'm in. And here comes grace. Write another little note. Oh, if you could get me out of this mess. If you could just get me out of this mess. It'll be different next time. Hallelujah. And you can throw away the food that after all these days of just eating that little bit of... Look, I like tuna, but I think I'd get to where I didn't like it. But sometimes you got to have it whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. I like going to church, but sometimes I just simply don't feel like going. But I'm kind of in a trap here. I told somebody on the phone the other night, I said, if I didn't have to go tonight, I think I'd stay home. I feel like getting out of that recliner. I'm tired. I'm probably more tired than some of you that might have stayed home. But you don't live here. But I'm going to tell you something. No more is expected out of me than is expected out of every one of you that are trying to serve God. He still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. What are all these things? Victory. Steadfastness. Stability. The ability to be consistent. Look at yourself when you can't do it. The devil convinces you, you can't do it. All he has to offer you is dead-end roads. Something to block your pathway? Something caving in on you? And a hopeless future. Who would want to trade all this for that? And he says, well, you got to have fun a little while. What's fun about that? I'm talking to thousands of people right now who are living this way. I'm looking right in the face of a bunch of people. I'm talking about hundreds and thousands, perhaps millions, by the time it's played several weeks. I know you're living like that. That's just the way people live. But that's not normal. Being a sinner is not normal. Normality is being a child of God. You were born to serve the Lord. All this other stuff is abnormal. Everything outside of the kingdom of God is abnormal. And that's where the devil reigns. And he's an idiot. He's a fool. He's slime. He's no good. He's a liar. He's just nothing that you need. And whatever it is you're doing that's not of God is not of God, but is of the devil. And God's already dealt with that rascal. So he doesn't have to get on to you. He's already gotten on to the spirit that you're of. He's already put it down. So when you feel so low that you can't make it, it's because that spirit that you're yielding to can't make it. So you got to have help from God to kick that thing out of your life. You can't think it out. You can't talk it out. And if you want to use the name of Jesus against it, you need to be living for Jesus. You don't have the authority even to use the name of Jesus to catch the devil out of your life if you're living for the devil. You can say in the name of Jesus all you want to, and he'll say, well, Paul I know, and Timothy I know, but who are you? And he'll make you get drunk to try to get over the thing. After you rebuke him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because you don't have the authority to rebuke devils if you're not living for God. Only those who are serving Him can expect all these things to be added unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Then you know, I'm not my own, but I'm bought with a price. Hallelujah. I'm doing this for the gospel's sake. He's the one I serve. It's not me that is getting glorified, but it's Him. There's some things I don't feel like doing. Yeah, I didn't feel like going to church, but what did I do? 6 o'clock came. Still didn't feel like it. Somebody called and said, can't make it tonight. I want to do what I did several years ago after my daughter had left the house and run off. Didn't know where she was. I'd been up for 2 nights in a row. Hadn't had any sleep. And a man who was trying to assist me in the church, a preacher, supposedly, called me and said, I don't feel like going to church this morning. And so I said, hey, look, I'm going, and I don't feel like it either. I said, are you sick? He said, no. I said, neither am I. So let's go. He said, we need to talk. Anytime somebody says it like that to a preacher or to another church member, it's of the devil. So what did he do? That didn't happen overnight, but over a period of time, he finally just totally fell into the pathway he had taken. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. When I say me and my house, I'm talking about me and my house. My fingers, my temple of the Holy Ghost. When something gets out of joint, out of order, I take it to the Lord in prayer. If it's still hurting, I just count it all joy. Amen. I rejoice in it. It's the will of God concerning me. Sooner or later, amen, He's going to show up just at the right time for the blind person. And it's part of the work of God to be manifested in your life. Sooner or later, something's going to abound. I'm going to tell you something. I walked with a crippled foot until I was 20 years old, 19 years old. And all the time I was crippled, people were losing their life in Vietnam. I was drafted to go to Vietnam. They drafted me. But because of my condition and my foot, I couldn't go. A lot of my buddies went, but they never came back. I couldn't go. And I don't know if I'd have been accepted if it hadn't been for that foot, but maybe I would have. I went, showed up before the draft board because they told me I would get arrested if I didn't. So I showed up. I was being drafted, and it was wartime. And it was the thing you had to do if you were of that age that I was. You had to show up. I had a cast on my leg. I had fallen in a roller rink and broke my leg. I broke it when I was about 5 years old, but I broke it again when I was 19 years old. All my life, I walked like this. Only my knee was facing forward, but my foot was facing outward. My foot was, and it hurt. Some of you think your foot hurts. Mine hurts so bad it had a pinched nerve in it, a pinched nerve on the top of it. And I'd sit around and just hold my foot, and I would hurt so bad. I could hardly walk. If anybody even started walking toward me, a pain would shoot through my entire leg and through my whole body because that nerve was being pinched, and I couldn't stand for anybody to even touch that foot. And I suffered like that all those years. One day I went to my father. I said, "Daddy, why do I have to live like this?" He said, "Son, if I were in your condition, I would go every time there's a prayer service. I would be in the prayer line. Every time somebody asked for a prayer request, I would raise my hand and I would request prayer." He said, "God answers prayer." Now, I was not living all that good of a life when I said that to him. I was ready to blame God and everybody else for what was wrong with me. But he said the right things. God answers prayer. So I started taking his advice. I showed up in the prayer lines. I got anointed with oil. Sometimes there'd be a long line. So I went to camp meeting. I passed through dozens of preachers, and they all reached out and laid hands on me. Dozens of preachers laid hands on me. I limped going into that prayer line, and I limped out of it, and I limped for a couple of years after that, several years. Nothing happened. And I hurt. And when I was 19 years old, my mother and I decided we'd go with the young people to a roller rink in Cahokia, Illinois. It was a church outing. And we put on skates. Neither one of us could skate. As soon as we got our skates on, I went rolling across the floor, and she started rolling, and all of a sudden we were coming toward each other, and we didn't know how to stop. My mom and I had a head-on collision. And I went into a twirl. And I landed, and when I landed, I looked down, and my skates had turned around. My foot with a big shoe with skates on them had turned around and was facing me, and my foot was in it, and my leg was still facing downward. Hallelujah. My leg was broke bad. Went to the hospital. I'm talking after years of prayer line, years of suffering with that foot, years of not having to go to war, years of not playing football, which I'd have probably volunteered for the team. Never would have told them my bones break easy. I'd have probably got killed in the football game. Everything that was rough, I wanted to be part of it. Somehow God protected me through all that. I'm going to tell you something. I look back now and I realize God was answering every one of those prayers. He was answering every one of those prayers. And in the right time, in the right way, amen, when it was best for everybody concerned. What seemed to be a terrible thing, and I broke my leg. Here's what the doctor said. I was going down the hallway as they were pushing me after he had done the work on my leg. I still wasn't completely too from being put to sleep. But I was aware enough that I said, "Hey, my knee's pointing straight up, and my foot's pointing straight up." And the people behind me said, "Yes," I think it was a doctor. He said, "There's no way that we could have done a better job with your foot than you did by falling in that roller rink." He said, "In order to fix the mess you've been in all these years," and he said, "Your parents told us that you've been crippled all these years. In order to fix that, we would have had to have surgery and broke it in exactly the place where it was broken. And we couldn't have done a better job," he said. And he said, "When this foot gets well, son, you'll be able to walk normal." Hey, a lot of people said God wouldn't do it like that. Well, I believe he did. I believe he did, and I'm alive to tell you about it now. Maybe the tough thing you're going through right now is going to abound for a great testimony. Maybe something, Brother Mike, maybe your hurting foot held you back just before a head-on collision. Who knows? But going and praying, God knows how to protect us. It's the communication with God. It's not believing the devil, but believing God. Perhaps your headache made you stop a moment and hold your head, and you wonder, why am I suffering like this? And then on your way across town, there was a wreck right in front of you, where if you'd have started and not stopped to hold your head, you might have been killed. Who knows how God is answering your prayer? But all things do work together for the good of those that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and get the wrinkles out of our clothes and the pain out of our back. Hallelujah. Turn on the cool air for a moment. We're in that time of year where you turn it on, it gets too cold. Turn it off, it gets too hot. The lights remain hot. Amen. Heats the building. Got plenty of fuel without fuel here. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, my body is a temple. Now, what you need to determine tonight before you leave this place is, who does it belong to? Thank you, Jesus. Who's using it? If it's a temple of the Lord, then the devil has no business trying to make it work for him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But if being used of Satan or of evil, the Lord knows how to fix it and snatch you out of the hands of the one that wants to hurt you. Praise God. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, no matter what condition you're in, if you'll acknowledge Him in all your ways, not just some of your ways. He wants to direct your path. He wants to direct your path. Amen. And if you're not having it directed in the way you think it should be, it's probably not God. But you know why? That I just despise grumbling, complaining, and people fussing at one another, even if it's parents and children or husband and wife. I can't stand it. I hate it. I despise it. Because it's not of God. It's not of God. Disagreeing is one thing. Fussing and grumbling is sin. Thank you, Jesus. Being an old grouch is not of God. And if you're tempted to stay grouchy, don't fall into it. Because the next thing you know, you're going to be contemplating murder. Because the devil never slows down. He gets you going forward, he pushes you on. You give him an inch, he'll take 10,000 miles. You don't give in to Satan. He's not playing. He means business. He wants to destroy you. If for no other reason, just to say to God, see, I got another one. He's an imbecile. He's an idiot. He wants to take you down. And if you start going that direction, you may lose control, because he's going to do all he can to make you go fast and make you go far. But God's got a hook in your jaw with a great big rubber band on it. Hallelujah. And if you'll just stop in your tracks, it'll pull you back. I don't care how far you go. Whew, back you go. Ah, Jesus, why'd you do that to me? It hurt. Woo! Man! That was a slammer. I found myself in church and everybody dancing around me, and I was miserable, so I just started praising the Lord. You just find yourself praising God. Then you'll start feeling like praying. Make yourself do what you have to do. Get out of your chair. Go to church. If you don't have a disease that somebody else will catch, go to church. If you do have one somebody else will catch, and you know for sure that's what you got, pray and let us pray for you, and then get well and come to church. Ain't nothing better for you than going to the house of God. This is a place where the temple of God gathers. The body of Christ gets together. We're the body of Christ, and we are a collective body of Christ. We're a spiritual house. We're somebody going somewhere, and Jesus has taken us, and the devil is on the outside. Don't let him lie to you and convince you that you need to fall. Let's praise and worship our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your... Worship Him, worship Him. Oh, look, hallelujah. If you worship Him, you'll start wanting to worship Him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I was in Louisiana, I was sitting in a little room off to the side of the church at 5 in the morning, working on, we had a newspaper we published. And I was down there working by myself because it got so big. We had 20,000 subscribers. And we were doing this every month, a church paper called the Apostolic Chronicle. And I was publishing this paper and putting it out every month and just working myself to death with that like I do the internet now. And we had all these people that let me do it. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, here came a group of about 3 or 4 men showing up. I thought they came to help me with the paper, but they came to do a little work around the church, clean up, and, you know, sometimes things need to be cleaned. But while they were in there at 5 in the morning, one of them said, "Why don't we have a word of prayer?" They were all needing to go to work. They had jobs, and they were, you know, needing to get to work. But one of them spoke up and said, "Let's have a word of prayer." And they just started kind of praying a little sharp prayer, and one of them started getting blessed. It's 5 in the morning. And when he started getting blessed, the others started getting blessed. I think every one of them were late for work that day. 2 hours later, they were all over that church praising God. The next morning, I was over there working again, and about 20 of them showed up. It's something like just a little spark of praise can do. This is when that revival was starting. That big Holy Ghost revival with 205 received the Holy Ghost. I baptized 60-something in the name of Jesus, and reports went out all over the country, still all over the world, of people who have been used of God ever since those days. Hundreds came and found God in that revival. Amen. It started off during that time, and those men came and said, "Let's just say a word of prayer." I don't care how you start it. Just say a prayer. Read a prayer. Just say praise God or something. You don't know what God's going to be able to do with it. Hey, you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Give God an inch, he'll take you to heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. Celebrate with all we have. And we'll dance to thank you for mercy. Your glory taught us how to shout. We'll lift your name in all the earth. And we'll shout to praise. Your glory, it's the overflow of the forgiveness of
shout if He's been good to you? Because of His mercy, because of His goodness, I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout. Hey! It's the overflow.
It's the overflow of our fear.
This young man is out of our church, Brother White. He and his father pastor out in DeVille, Louisiana. He spent all day Thanksgiving with his wife and his baby. Friday morning on her way to town, she and a truck had a head-on collision. And she was suddenly planted in the sunny banks of Sweet Deliverance. And if this young man here can be here with a dance, with a baby still here with him in his arms, if he can still have a shout, there shouldn't be anybody that says this is a dancing generation and not have a dance in your soul tonight.
Dancing because of your great mercy, Lord. Your great mercy, Lord.
Thank you.
gonna be all right. God's with you.